Hey, Shepherd family, welcome to Digital Worship. I'm John Carolus, one of our associate pastors here at Shepherd, and I'm joined by Chase Greenhagen, one of our summer vicars, summer interns. He's helping us out over the month of July before he heads to his vicarage internship for 12 months in Green Bay, Wisconsin, which is a joyful experience for me to think about him being in Green Bay, even though he's more of a Minnesota fan himself. So Chase, welcome back to Shepherd, and it's just good to have you back.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
So today we're going to be continuing in our series, Planted, looking at the kingdom of God, the parables of Jesus, the sayings and stories that have impact not only for the original hearers, but even for us here today. So we're going to hear a story of an interaction Jesus had with not only a person being healed of a significant ailment, but also a conversation with some church leaders that resulted in some clarity for you and I as we live out our lives today. So from Matthew chapter 12, Chase, you want to go ahead and share the reading today?
Then a demon-possessed man, who was blind and couldn't speak, was brought to Jesus. He healed the man so that he could both speak and see. The crowd was amazed and asked, "Could it be that Jesus is the son of David, the Messiah?" But when the Pharisees heard about the miracle, they said, "No wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons." Jesus knew their thoughts and replied, "Any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A town or family splintered by feuding will fall apart. And if Satan is casting out Satan, he is divided and fighting against himself. His own kingdom will not survive. And if I am empowered by Satan, what about your own exorcists? They cast out demons too. So they will condemn you for what you have said. But if I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. For who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger, someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. Anyone who isn't with me opposes me, and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me." Taking our reading for today, I can't help but notice that there is a lot of possession going on, especially demon possession. Could you tell us a little bit about what's going on here?
Yeah, it's interesting to hear about an exorcism and a demon possession and Jesus enacting an interaction with that possessed person and the response that garners by the people around him. And it's hard for people like us today in a culture like we have, where we've really floated into an almost totally secular mindset that goes on in the back of our minds. So when we come across something supernatural in this more tangible way, like a demonic possession and an exorcism, it seems like something science fiction or fantasy or just something in a horror movie. But what's helpful for us to realize is that demonic possession in the Bible is something that was very familiar, something that they came across in probably every community, if not every group, social group that existed. Demonic possession was one of the ways that the devil was at work at the time in the people that Jesus was surrounded by. And the truth is, he's still at work in a similar way in our world, even though we wouldn't call it the same thing and it doesn't necessarily look the same to us. See, the reality is we're all possessed by different things. We're all consumed by a desire for particular directions, particular things. And in this world that we live in today, sometimes we're possessed by a desire to succeed, or we're driven solely by a want to have success and riches in this life, or prominence, or influence. And it's not that's the name of the demon that's within us necessarily, but that certainly is the trap that the devil uses to pull us away from where we should be. The fact that we are caught up in our desires and trapped by them, totally trapped and consumed by them, it speaks into the truth that we need help. And it's not a help that we can get on our own. Another difficult part of our culture is not only do we not see demonic possession in a biblical sense all over the place in the way that it's described in the Bible, but also we live at a time where we hold ourselves responsible and accountable for getting everything done in our lives. If you want to change, you need to enact it. If you want to be successful, you've got to do it. You have the tools you need to be in control. And the truth is, we are not in control. We don't have the power it takes to get back things that we have lost. We can't even get out of the traps that we've fallen into by the offerings of possession by goods or by careers or by influence that we fall into. So that can be a little better way to kind of think about and grasp the whole idea of possession, especially as we come across it in such a big and complex text that we've encountered today. Another thing that came up, though, was this kingdom language. What does it mean that there's towns and families and kingdoms in conflict? Can you talk a little bit about the kingdom language that we see in the text?
Yeah. And this passage that we went through, it has a lot of kingdom language in it. The Pharisees and the scribes, they ask Jesus whether or not he could possibly be the son of David, the Messiah. And really, what they're getting at is whether or not Jesus is ushering in a kingdom. For you see, Matthew writes his gospel in the context and for largely a Jewish population. Those Jews were waiting for this Messiah to come, who is a descendant of David, and this Messiah would usher in this kingdom. Now, it is true that Jesus ushered in this kingdom, but it wasn't quite the kingdom that the Pharisees and the scribes had in mind. We see this also in the demon possession. Really, there are two kingdoms at work. There's either the kingdom of Satan or the kingdom of God. And everyone, regardless of whether or not you realize it, are part of one of these two kingdoms. In our text, in the demon-possessed man, we see that the demon-possessed man is part of Satan's kingdom. He is being possessed by Satan. And yet Jesus comes along and he's the one who gives that demon-possessed man freedom. And he brings him into his own kingdom. We see a little bit more about this when that demon-possessed man is brought to Jesus. That demon-possessed man, getting to John's earlier point, doesn't have the power or ability. He's not quite in control and can't bring himself from one kingdom to the other kingdom. Rather, he's brought passively from one into the other.
It's interesting, you know, to hear about that the conflict at the center of this text is the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And it's almost like there's no room to be outside of either one of those kingdoms. You're in one or you're in the other. And that kind of gives us clarity to understand this confusing phrase Jesus uses of who is strong enough to come into a strong man's house to bind him up and to plunder his goods. He's using illustration to help us understand really what our role is in this kind of cosmic conflict that takes place between the kingdoms that exist, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of temptation, the kingdom of evil desires. And Jesus is saying that those who are possessed, those who are controlled, those who are stuck and trapped in those kingdoms, that's the plunder, the hearts and souls of the people themselves, like you and me. We're the plunder that one of the kingdoms has taken for themselves. You see, we don't have an active role of holding a weapon in our hand and joining Jesus in the fight. And that's actually a really comforting reality, because we don't have the power or the inspiration or the wisdom or the strength to free ourselves from the possession of Satan's kingdom. We can't get away from the evil desires we have. We can't get away from our selfishness. And Jesus says, only one who is strong enough to bind up the strong man. In other words, the strong man of Satan who has the power to trap all kinds of people is overcome by one who is stronger. The one who is the son of David, the Messiah himself. Jesus is the one that comes in and controls, overwhelms, totally conquers this evil kingdom. And it's in a confusing and kind of an unexpected way. Jesus comes into the world and ushers in this unexpected kingdom, this kingdom that's not marked by military conquest or popular opinion, but instead comes in, speaks the truth, is rejected by men, is rejected by the plunder of Satan's kingdom, and even thought to have been overcome by Satan himself by dying on the cross. And yet that's when the Father raises Jesus from the dead. And all of a sudden, there's no questions who's in charge, who has the power, and who the plunder, you and me, the hearts and souls of believers, really belongs to. It's the kingdom of God. He has come in, he has won us over, and he calls us his own. It's a beautiful picture of how this kingdom language can tie into our own daily experience, and even how we can see how the language of possession and kingdoms and Satan and God fits into our experience of life each day. But there's one more little phrase I want to talk about, and it's that ending of this reading where Jesus says, anyone who isn't with me opposes me, and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. Can you just explain a little bit what Jesus means by that and how we can hear that in an understandable way today?
Yeah. So I think what Jesus is getting at here is going back again to that analogy where there's only two kingdoms. There's either the kingdom of Satan or there's the kingdom of God. And whether or not we like it or not, we are part of one of those kingdoms. And we're either working for Jesus or we're working against him. We may think things that we do are neutral, but in reality, nothing is neutral.
Yeah, Jesus gives us that clear distinguishing line. If it's for me, you're with me. If you're on board with what I'm saying, if you're accepting the claims as I've spoken them, great. And it's hard because we live in a world that says, actually, there's all kinds of options. You can be anything you want to be. We're all basically on the same wide road headed to the same destination. But that's not how Jesus talks. And it actually gives us even more peace and comfort to know that we can hear Jesus as he speaks himself. We can take him at his word. He says, look, I am the conqueror. I am the Messiah. I'm the chosen one who's come to bring about strength and healing and rescue for the hearts and souls of all of you who are lost and trapped under the kingdom of Satan. And there's no wiggle room. There's nowhere else for you to go. It's either you're trapped in those evil desires, you're trapped and bound to death itself, or I've come and set you free. And all it takes is the Spirit to pull us into a relationship where we take Jesus at his promises. We believe in his word. He washes us clean in our baptisms and says, you're my children. You are mine. You're my plunder. You are possessed by me now. And that's really where the truth and comfort of the gospel comes into play. We hope that you enjoyed hearing more about this text from Matthew chapter 12. And we hope you have a great week. Thanks for joining us this week for digital worship. And Chase and I hope to see you throughout the rest of the month. Take care.